This is a lecture by L. Ron Hubbard given on the 9th of December, 1952. The title of this lecture is What's Wrong with This Universe? A Working Package for the Auditor. This lecture is 62 minutes long. Reproduced by Golden Era Productions.
Thank you. December 9th, unless I've lost track of a few dates, first hour of the afternoon lecture. We have today quite a little bit of coverage to do, because today we're going to tie in several points. Now that we have covered ARC and be, have, and do, and all these cycles, and today we're going to tie these in to a first, what's wrong with this universe? And second, a working package for an auditor. Now, as you well know, there might possibly be something wrong with the messed universe. There might be something wrong with it. It's an incredible thing that anything could be built on a 180-degree reverse vector. Never give a win without giving a lose. Never let anybody get ahead unless they're backwards. I don't know if you have heard a tape on game processing. I will cover game processing before I get out of here. Try to at least. But how do you set up a game? How do you set up a game that will just go on forever? Well, you say it's one kind of a game, and lying right underneath that kind of a game, you have an entirely different game going on. Now, that's set up this way. You very often find your pre-clear is suddenly turning up, and he's complaining that every time he goes into a between lives area or something of this character, or what he calls that, he is saying that he's being promised that if he just goes back one more time, the next time, he'll practically be ruler of the universe and all that sort of thing. This time, he has to accomplish so-and-so and so-and-so, and they give him a very specific goal. And then what do you know? They booby-trap it. They give him a very specific goal and then give him an aberration that makes it impossible to accomplish that goal. Actually, who's they? They are people remarkably like thee and me. But either just a little further down or a little further up on the tone scale. What you call a player, an assistant player. And the game divides down into players, assistant players, pieces, and broken pieces. These are actually the component parts of a very wide game, but you can actually take an E-meter, take any pre-clear. They don't know anything about past lives or between lives or anything of the sort. You put them on the E-meter, and you say, all right, do you have any basic goals? And the fellow says, oh, I don't know. And the E-meter goes bang. And you say, well, now, at the beginning of this life, did you have a certain job to do? Well, I kind of felt like it, but I've often had the idea, and the E-meter's going bang, bang, and you say, did anybody tell you before you were born that you should do so-and-so and so-and-so, and the E-meter go off its pins? All right, you start tracing this down, and you find out that all his life this individual has been trying to accomplish this thing, trying to accomplish it, but he can't accomplish it because he has an aberration that. Now, you can just trace it right there. What is the thing he has which does not permit him to accomplish this goal? Of course, this works out mechanically. You find out that an absolute's unattainable here. Therefore, if you had an absolute right, you would get the end of the universe. It just works out that way. An absolute right would be a right on all eight dynamics, and if all eight dynamics were right, you would pass instantly into a static, and the universe would not be here anymore. And if you had an absolute wrong, then all eight dynamics would be wrong, and you'd have the death of everything in the whole universe to have an absolute wrong. So it just works out mechanically, not paranoically, that the individual who is given a basic goal in any between lives area is also given much more abundantly the reasons he has to lose. He will trace for any lifetime or for spirals or for the whole track these various efforts to get something done. The PC definitely has the idea that he is an integral part of a large goal, that something is really trying to be done in this universe. And the most appalling and upsetting thing in this universe is the fact that he has never at any time on the track been able to accomplish wholly one goal. Because every goal he has ever been given has a big lose tacked to it. You cannot win without losing. That's this universe. Now let's take a look at that and find out if the universe at large is more or less rigged on this basis. And in the meanwhile, I invite you to do a little experimentation on the E-meter with those principles. It's just horrible. I mean, this couldn't happen to somebody. I mean, he's given the basic goal that this time he ought to get something done, and all kinds of specious statements have been made. And this time he's decided, you're awfully looking awfully gloomy. Don't tell me that I'm hitting home with it. Well, his whole modus operandi keeps getting jammed. And he can't quite figure out why this is. Well, he'll jam it himself. You watch this odd phenomenon of a fellow's going right straight toward a goal, and he's just evidently succeeding beautifully on this goal, and then the next thing you know, bong, he's wrecked his car, or he's thrown something in there. There's something weird has entered in suddenly that kept him from reaching that tall cliff. Well, now, this is a very simple thing. That is, no win without a lose. Of course, if any piece won, that piece would be a player. And here on Earth, we, by and large, don't even have pieces. And out in the slave strata of outer space, you don't have pieces. You have broken pieces. And a fellow gets up to being a piece again, and he wants to go right into action. Unless you've pulled the trip on this goal. It's a phony, this goal is. In the first place, nobody has any use whatsoever for this universe. There is no show to be gotten on the road by the messed universe. That is the horrible thing about the messed universe, is that there isn't even a secret about it. The big secret about the messed universe is that there is no secret. If you'll notice the modus operandi of mystery in this universe, you see it doesn't happen to be a pattern for all universes, fortunately, but the modus operandi of mystery is simply to hide nothing. Lord Dunsany tells one of the most wonderful stories about a monastery which was scheduled to fall one day. And this monastery was up on a high hill, and there was a rumor and a legend had gone forward for many centuries that on a certain day the monastery would fall. And the day came, and one of the peasants in the valley walked up to the monastery and walked in the front gate. He was quite astonished to find no guards on duty, because the guards were back in a corner of a courtyard weeping because that day the monastery was scheduled to fall. And so he walked on through to an inner chamber, and he was not stopped because all of the guards there were weeping because the monastery was scheduled to fall that day. And he walked on into an inner sanctum, and an inner sanctum, sanctorum, sanctorum plus, and finally came down unguarded corridors to the largest central room of this entire place, where the mystery of all mysteries was kept. And here behind at the far side of the room, and he obviously, the mystery was behind these huge black curtains. And he walked over and he looked at the curtains and he thought, well, it's a very adventurous thing to do. But the monastery was scheduled to fall that day, so he had ventured to do it. And he reached up and he pulled the curtains down, and there was nothing there. And the monastery fell that day. That is any mystery there is in the messed universe. Of course it fell. It didn't have a mystery. And that's true of any mystery. The boys who sit down and beat their knuckle bones and drums, beg pardon, they don't do that in this culture. See, what do they do in this culture? Oh, yes, they flick a phallic symbol over the audience. Yeah. Now, just a minute, I'll get it. I get these ethnologies mixed up. They have these gourd... No. It's beads, beads, beads. They count beads in this place. Anyway... they had all of these things of that character. Now, there is a tremendous facade with tremendous proof, and yet the biggest business of the Middle Ages was manufacturing authentic religious relics. All you had to do was hide their history, and they immediately became authentic. Now, just look at this. Look at this. The monastery fell that day because a mystery is no mystery. And, of course, when its mystery was gone, the monastery was gone. All right? You lift the curtain on the messed universe, and you find nothing there. It's just empty. They tell you, all right, now what you're supposed to do is you just go down to that galaxy or that solar system, or let's do something or other, and let's get everything all set, because actually the real truth of the matter is that this culture is growing fairly old and we need a new culture and we ought to do something with that. And you go down into this system, you find everybody rushing this way and rushing that way and trying to get something done. And just the second a man finds his hands upon the bushel basket full of gold, just the moment the person is about to drive in the last spike of the imposing city, just at the instant when he has success within his grasp, just as Dumas ended his after 20 years, the Marshal's baton of France is being extended to the hero of the story. And as he reaches for it, saying it was about time he got it, a cannonball takes off his head. There's no win. Now, this is actually part of the postulates of the messed universe. Don't look at it in reverse. Don't look at it and say, the energy behaves that way, that's why these other things behave that way. No, the energy behaves that way because of postulates. You see that postulates are senior to, in any case, the behavior of any particular field of action. The postulate is the senior thing in the PC, although the PC is made out of energy. Now, how does the energy behave in the messed universe? Well, I want to show you that the mystery was no mystery. We have two kinds of energy in the messed universe. There's have energy and have not energy. Some of you look awfully grim about this. I don't really blame you, as a matter of fact. It so happens that there are goals amongst the universes. There are universes. It so happens that there are universes where love and other things can flourish, and where a person can sit down on a pink cloud for 20 or 30,000 years and just sit there. And nobody will come along and say, hey, now we'd like you to volunteer. And the fellow says, I don't want to volunteer. then there's this, he hears this little hissing sound. And he says, they say, all right, now that you volunteered, you know you volunteered, don't you? And he'll say, yes, I agreed. Yeah, I volunteer. On his way, there he goes. That's a very odd thing, but you'll get any PC that you want to put up there will say, I volunteered. Yes, I agreed to this. And you just ask him three times. No more, no less. Don't infer anything, not even by a tone of voice. And just say, are you sure now that you volunteered of your own free will? He will look kind of odd for a moment. And you say, well, no, we're just asking you factually to make sure you get it straight. Was it of your own free will that you volunteered? Was there any, there was no persuasion of any kind used? And the E-meter suddenly goes, meow. The body that's held in pawn, the goals which are extended to him, these big volunteer projects. Started out something in this fashion. There was a big building. He was curious. He was very curious, and he wanted to know what was in the big building. It was very fancy. Maybe this fellow had a job. Maybe he was already doing something, and he was going around through the civilization. He was already in use. And he saw this big building, and he thought he'd heard some mystery had taken place in there. So he goes in to take a look, because wide open, it's very easy to walk into. And what does he find? He finds this enormous stone hanging suspended in the middle of a room. This is an incident called the emanator, by the way. And this thing is, by the way, the source of the Muhammadan lodestone that they have hanging down there, that when Muhammad decided to be a good small-town booster in Kansas, Middle East, or something of the sort. By the way, the only reason he mocked that thing up is the trade wasn't good in his hometown. That's right. You read the life of Muhammad. And he's got a black one, and it's sort of hung between the ceiling and the floor, and I don't know, it maybe it's called a Casbah or something. Anyway, that thing is a mock-up of the emanator. The emanator is bright, not black. And so your volunteer, who was just on a sightseeing trip, goes in, and this thing is standing in the middle of a room, and it's going whong, 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 whong. And he says, isn't that pretty? It sure is. And then he says, ponk. Well, I tell you, they cart him from there, and they take him in, and they do a transposition of beingness. Transposition could be the technical term for, and is a very, very technical term, a very authoritative word, and I want you to take particular note of it because I just made it up. The transposition, it would be that act of taking a person who is here and under influence, like hypnosis or something of the sort, persuading him to be somewhere else. And then monitoring him somewhere else by addressing the body which is kept in a state of trance or drugs here. You will find the lostness of your preclear normally stems from these transpositions. And why he can't remember his past track, past this life, is partially because he doesn't have anything from that period. And the other is that he's lost his space. And if he's having trouble with space, you'll find these transpositions. Little girl, she's sitting on the curb, she's playing with a Jax or something of the sort, and this will be in the year, oh, a couple trillion years ago. And she's sitting on this big, beautiful city, and here's a very, very nice-looking huzzer who rides up and says, officer, and he said, how are you, and gives her some candy. Well, after she passes out, why, he takes her across the saddle bow and takes her into the big castle. And there she is placed in a room remarkably like those that are in use right at this moment. There's a shining grate or something of the sort, and it keeps her in a state of trance. Well, they take her, persuade her that she is a prostitute or something like that, or they get a prostitute and they bring her in there too, and they swap those bodies. And then they will send this little girl off to all of a sudden occupy or take over the body of some queen or something of the sort, someplace or another, and make a prostitute out of her, so that she will disgrace the king and the government will fall. And this is politics par excellence, Miss Universe. Now, isn't this wild? Incredibly wild. I haven't seen this done here on Earth to any great extent at all. As a matter of fact, I haven't seen it done here on Earth as such. I've done it, but I haven't seen it done. Now, when I started finding this on the E-meter, I decided that it's something we ought to look into, and so I got a hold of a, well, he was in terrible shape anyway, and he'd never liked Dianetics, I don't know, he's probably all right now, he's probably happy. We had an awful lot of trouble with the body, though, he went afterwards down to Fair Hope, Alabama, and he hasn't been doing too well, but one of these days we'll give him his soul back. That's all a joke, by the way. Anyway, just experimented. This is a number of years ago. Just experimented this way. Can you send a person zip, zip, zip? Well, I didn't know the mechanics exactly of what they did in this universe with this thing. You know, could you send a person zip to here and there to there? Was this just astral walking? Or was it actually, did we produce a result? Well, it's all right to sit around and theorize and say, well, astral walking is this and something or other is that. As a matter of fact, astral walking is the palest shade of anything like this. Just the palest of shades. And can we actually make this person influence somebody at a distance? And by working on it, really working on it, putting him into a very deep trance, narcosynthesis, which is used every day on people, and they're very, very, very funny. I mean, nobody ought to fool around with a human mind that doesn't know his hat from his horse. Nobody. That's right. Because psychiatry does this unwittingly all the time. They throw a gun in Nicholson's and they say, be back on the battlefield now. All right, you're on the battlefield. Well, you were unconscious at that moment, so we won't pay any attention to that. Now let's go through. And so on, and the guy comes forward and he walks around like a zombie and they wonder what's wrong with him. You go ahead and you get one of these fellows and you have to collect him off of this battlefield. They actually sent him over to the battlefield and the guy's been sitting over there on Green Beach 1 for 3 years looking at the waves come in. Saying, I wonder where the battle was. Yeah, wonderful, isn't it? All right. So I sent this three guys. As a matter of fact, I sent several of them. I hate to break down and tell you about that. None of them like Dianetics, so it's all right. One of them was a... Well, that's all right. Anyway, could we take a Homo sapiens and just simply tell him he was somebody else and make him orient and regulate and monitor the activities of the person we told him he was? Yes. To this extent, to tell this guy drugged to go over and get a hold of Bill and be Bill and have Bill get into the car and drive straight up to the front door. You give it 15 minutes and you look outside and there's Bill. So just as Bill is going to get out of the car, and before you have any slightest chance of doing anything else here, just take this fellow and bat him around a little bit and wake him up and say, you are still Bill, now drive down to the city hall and apply for a marriage license. Now you are driving down, now apply for this marriage license, now go on down there, now go on, walk up, so on. All of a sudden, this fellow Bill calls you up and he says, you know, he said, I'm beginning to worry about my mind. You know that yesterday I applied for a marriage license and I don't even know any girls. So, you want to know, can it work? Does it work? Does it exist? Is it phenomena? Boy, is it. Your preclear has been shuttled. Many of your preclears that are really lost have been shuttled from hither to thither to whither until they finally don't know if they've got any space. One moment, they're sightseeing, they've just gotten off a ship or something of the sort, and they're walking along. Here's this big, beautiful building, and it says, free excursion, see the panoramic or something. And they walk in, and that's... Their ship is still sitting out on some airport someplace. The baggage is still in some waiting room. The wife and kiddies are still wondering, hardly, because this was probably millions of years ago, is still wondering whatever happened to him. And of course, it's just too horrible a fact for him to face that all of a sudden he could cease to be here and suddenly materialize there as somebody else. You want to know what happened to his space? It's scrambled all over the place. Now, I could give you a rundown on this and maybe a will. But it's just too fantastic for words. That's just too fantastic, so of course nobody would believe it, and that again is the main stock in trade of the messed universe. You notice that everybody triggers on a, I can't believe it. You notice that? That's one of the nicest mechanisms there is. The reason why Scientology can actually take the guts of nuclear physics, extend them, we're more usefully in the direction of chain fission, low-order chain fission, than the boys are out at Los Alamos. We can take that. We can ship it to Russia. We could ship it to Germany. We could do anything we wanted to. I could go down here and take electronics laboratory and build a gimme gahoojit that would bop gamma rays like mad. We could just have the most fun. Nobody would pay a bit of attention to what was going on. Why? That is the main mechanism of the meshed universe. Does it immediately agree with a person's immediate surroundings? Well, if it doesn't exist. Uh-huh. Nobody is really permitted to imagine out beyond the surroundings in which he finds himself. That's one of these agree mechanisms. The doggonedest things could happen, you know. You could suddenly take over the Empire State Building in New York City. And if you had it on the proper deeds and so forth, and everything was all set up, why, you'd have the Empire State Building as long as you'd gone through the agreement of the environment. The whole society is wide open. It's just like Swiss cheese is very solid compared to this society. It just lies here. It's as porous as a sponge. And nobody eats it up. Somebody ought to wonder why. There's two reasons why. Is messed has no real value, and the other reason why is because there are a lot of people making awfully sure right now this place doesn't get eaten up. Now, I ask you to qualify all that I'm telling you and realize that it's far too incredible to actually be. But don't get an e-meter and start asking questions. You start to collect your pre-clearance space. You start to sum up his space. Where did he suddenly cease to exist? And where is he still trying to hold on? And you will get a state of mind which has no fluidity. It says, now look, it's happened to me once too often. I was here and then all of a sudden, bow, I was someplace else. And I'm sure I'm here, and your pre-clear is hanging on to any anchor point the messed universe cares to give him. He knows he's here. Your pre-clears, you're processing him on mock-ups, will occasionally open his eye and look around the room just to make sure he's here. Where's here? Well, any here is better than no here. So he at least knows he has a location, that he hasn't suddenly gone zook and appeared on Arcturus as a street sweeper. Oh, it's fantastic enough, when you come to think about this, that something like this could go on and never get detected, even vaguely. Well, fortunately, it's very easy to solve. It is tremendously easy to solve once you know spaceation, because you can just solve it by mocking up anchor points and that sort of thing. And you'll wonder why this makes a fellow feel so much better. Actually, most of your people have been transported and super-transported too wildly for his own credibility, much too wildly. Now, at the same time, just because that condition of affairs can exist, and it can only exist because it is unknown, that is, it's a mystery, it's hidden, just because that strange state of nonsensical things can exist, disconnected, the fellow loses when he thinks he's winning, and he wins and he loses, and all this is hidden back of the lines, is because of two things. That is, one, the pre-clear himself never got oriented the instant he stepped into the universe. He was disoriented at that moment because it was strange space, and he is at the present time gripping with terrible tenacity to any orientation to which he can credit a reality. Anyone. So one of the reasons why mock-up creative processing works is because it, for the first time, starts to treat the only anchor points he ever had or he ever will have. He doesn't have any other anchor points than his own anchor points. But somebody could come along with trickery and drugs and persuasion and shift him from one place to another just grandly and beautifully, and here you have then your pre-clear losing space and appearing in one space and another space. This material becomes deadly when your psychotic is faced with it. Just deadly. Oh, it's just grim. The poor guy has adequate reason to be completely fruitcake. Anybody has. And somewhere along the track, he's taken refuge in the fact that he was no longer responsible, so somebody could stop punishing him. And you see, when a guy can't die, he can be punished and punished and punished and punished and punished. So his final answer to inability to die is to say, I'm not responsible, and I can't be responsible, and the substitute in the Thetan for death is insanity. And that, of course, came about, and the person chose the substitute of insanity before he chose to have a body and have it die. You know, it's a very good thing to have a body, because we have an agreement here, and that is to say, when you kill the body, the fellow is legally dead. You can only go so far with punishment. You can't keep going after that point. Now, these incredibilities add up to a squirrel cage. And when a fellow starts looking at the unknownness of it, he'll suddenly stop knowing himself. What is knowingness composed of? It's composed of having anchor points and being able to handle and combine energy. That's all knowingness consists of, really. If you can do that, then you have the capability of knowing, which is to say computing, anything that has to do with a universe. Look, all of the data we have is messed universe data. There's datum after datum after datum, and they're all messed universe data, just as though they were important. It doesn't really matter a tinker's doggone where this preclear has been transported to from one place to another. It does not matter a bit how much messed universe space he has lost. It doesn't matter how many identities have been taken away from him, really, in this universe. That is of no consequence. But a psycho all of a sudden is faced with some terrible problem in this life, and he starts to look for the answer. And he starts to look, God help him, in his facsimiles. And the second he starts to look for the answer to some all-pervasive problem about knowingness, the wrong place to look is facsimiles, because the energy in them is rigged backwards. It is zong, 180 degree wrong. So the fellow starts looking through this, and of course he knows less, and he knows less, and he knows less. What is he finding out from these? He's finding out past identities. But these identities were not his identity. His identity is solely and only his own beingness, high on the tone scale. That identity which he assigns to himself is his individualism. That's his individualism. He actually has to be robbed of his individualism to become John Jones, which is an identity. So that's all the identity the fellow's ever going to have, and he just hasn't made up his mind to it. But he still thinks that it was more important to have been assigned an identity. And you'll get preclears coming around and saying, I was Noah or something of this sort, and I have these terrible crimes upon my back. Yap, yap, yap. So what? So what? By the way, another manifestation is preclears will shift identities and borrow facsimiles like mad. There's what they call the Christ game. And that game has been played and played and played and played. Honest to Pete, these cards are just so thin. They've been laid down amongst the coffee cups and so forth of a whole universe. You'll find out thousands of years before the year 1 A.D. Earth, you will have facsimiles and dolls made up like Christ. Back 1, a million years ago, is occasionally rigged with Christ and the devil and an angel. It's a fascinating thing. It's an old game. Here on Earth, there was undoubtedly Christ, but one of the reasons he swept in so suddenly and he would go forward so hard is he had a good assist back of him in terms of an implant. All right, now you'll find preclears, and this is a little problem that'll come up with you. You'll find preclears all of a sudden are Christ. You will actually find a preclear will go all the way through with a crown of thorns and every other darn thing. Just look for an overt act against Christ and it solves itself. What they've done is picked up an implant phrase and done a mock-up on it. They can do this. They picked up some kind of an implant or some kind of a terrible upset or a conviction of some sort or another. And then they'll go ahead and, my Lord, they'll carry that cross clear up to the top of Golgotha and get themselves nailed on it. And very few of them go to the point of getting the gallbladder stuffed in their mouth or something like that, little Christian niceties. But they will be just about as good as this as they know about Christ. They'll add no new data to the situation. This is an overt act against religion. And the person has been made guilty in terms of some religious cult and so on. The only reason that could ever happen to him is because at some time or another he has deserted a group which was a high ethical group. And after that he can become prey to other things. Man's degradation always stems from his first desertion or breakage of, really, the code of honor. He breaks the code of honor, and after that he starts downhill, and he gets worse and worse and worse and worse because his trust in himself is worse, and therefore he can't trust what his own space is or his own energy is or anything else. So this is a completely wild picture. When you look at man's location in the messed universe and what he has or has not been through, the picture is just incredibly wild. And you start to search through facsimiles to set this picture to rights, all you're going to find is the track of agreements which led him to finally agree to be what he is right now. Now, you'll be able to map that, but as far as his identities being shifted in space, being shifted in time, all of these things, of no importance. The dickens with it. If your poor psycho could only realize this, brother, it doesn't amount to two whoops and a collar button. What you've done, where you've been, who you've butchered, how many crosses you lugged to Golgotha. Oh, that's really vicious. You go down an insane asylum's corridors and you see these religious implants are just leaping. It's something in the order. It's at least one out of three inmates in any asylum are spinning on religion. Why? God occupies all space. That's all you have to convince a guy, and he's dead. That's right. It's all God's space, and any space which you occupy will be God's. Oh, brother. Just look at that as an operation. The guy can't throw out any anchor points of his own without getting God into that space. And he'll spin like a spinning mouse if he finally gets this down the line. And you look down these things, and you find these guys are trying to depend upon or trust upon. The other thing that they're worried about, God help them, is they have found out how perishable a commodity ARC is in this universe. How perishable. They have had an ARC break with the rest of the race. Now, this actually violates the individual's own reality. It actually violates any way he would set up a universe if left to his own devices. He would set this thing up on a high-level ARC and try to keep it there. But he has been tricked here into believing that certain things comprise ARC, and he'll, all of a sudden, you start tracing back a pre-clear's life. Where are his major ARC breaks? He all of a sudden realizes that this human being's no good, and that human being is a dunny man, and that human being is no good, and that he can't help some other human being, and this sort of a progress has been setting in on him just year in and year out, and he has never found this out. A human being finds it almost impossible to do these two things. One, be a driven slave under the whip of energies and necessities and spaces which are not his own, and to be at the same time a real being. He finds it almost impossible to cross the messed universe with faith, hope, charity, love, friendship, and so on. It's dog eat pig. Look at the way the food system's rigged. If anything is silly, it's rigging a food system so that every time a being eats, something has had to die. Isn't that wonderful? Every time a being eats, something has had to die, even if he's eating celery. The cells that go to make up that celery are live cells. That's livingness. Here's Theta has got this weird, endless chain. Go out and look at the sea sometime if you want to see how bad off Theta can be. Take a big spotlight down in tropical waters and shine it into the water alongside the thing, and then just watch. You don't have to do anything. Just turn on the spotlight. And the little fish will come up to see what's happening in all this light, because they figure light, algae, that sort of thing. And they're eating the algae, and the next thing you know, there's a flurry and a flash, and there's another big fish in there, and he leaves a lot of maimed little ones, and then he comes back and eats two or three of those, and then there's a big flash, and the bigger fish is suddenly cut in half by a barracuda, and there's a big flash, because this time there's blood in the water, and you see a big barracuda come in there, and then you see the slow, lazy turns of a shark. And Mr. Shark will come in there. Mr. Shark looks awfully religious. He is. He's very nice. You know, he has lids on his eyes, and he can blink at you, particularly when he's dying, the most touching blink you ever saw. And so Mr. Shark comes in there and starts to mop the joint up. And then maybe a couple of sharks will get in a fight, and then the shark that gets wounded gets eaten up by the rest of the sharks present. And if you've ever seen a bloody swirling turmoil that'll really turn you just a little bit gaggy and cold, just do that trick sometime in tropical waters. This universe then throws some sort of a vile curtain across things. It's an interesting thing. One of the commonest incidents you'll find in PCs is somebody telling them what they really face in the messed universe and making sure that the guy knows how bad it is. Just pounding it to him and then just breaking him down and then showing him how degraded he is and so on. You see, if a fellow didn't consent to become degraded, one of the fine days he could suddenly just throw out his chest and there would be a sort of a flash and a tinkle of glass and a faraway cry of the inventor of this place as he fell through all of his own space. I think he should fall through all of his own space endlessly, myself. I think we should have endless space, sort of a circle with leading type gravity. Because look at that. Every sensation is based upon some debasing thing. This is not native to Theta. Theta can be pushed in that direction because bad and good are practically without classification. But it can be pushed in that direction. And it can be trapped in that direction. And it can be made a slave to do this sort of thing. But God help us, the fellow who has had these ARC breaks, ARC breaks, ARC breaks down the length of his life. What he's doing is making the basic error, supposing he's on his home ground. He is underestimating the amount of power and force that is driving, or that his friends think are driving them. He's faced then with people who are not able to act out of their own election, but people who are caught, enmeshed, and admired in a world where something has to die before anything can live. You're undoing then a very strange picture. You're undoing a very strange, complex, and upsetting picture. You think your preclear has liked some of it. He'll try to hold on to something because he's liked some of it. You process him for a little while, and all of a sudden, boom! He finds out that wasn't the case, that he had himself kidded one way or another about that. And he tells you proudly that he won a prize. And then we find out the award of the prize was getting up on top of a chute and going down the chute and getting all the emotions installed one after the other. And he gets to the bottom completely degraded. The emotional chute is just an incident. So they had a big contest to find who the smartest Thetan was in this area. And at the end of this contest, the Thetan that won the prize got to go down this chute. And, of course, they finished him. That is just typical of messed universe control. You'll find out that those people who best approximate the modus operandi of the messed universe in methods of control are the most successful in the messed universe. Well, this is a complete reversal to the purposes and actual hopes of a Thetan. He knows this is just haywire. What? Evil is rewarded? Only evil is rewarded with success? You mean you have to follow along with these trickeries and twistings and turnings and upsets one way or the other in order to bring about anything like success? You have to be a dirty, double-dealing dog? But remember what the fellow who is successful wins. He wins messed. And that, of course, is the trick within the trick within the trick within the trick. After a fellow has completely won the messed universe, what does he have? He has, God help him, the messed universe. But these tricks, as they twist back and forth, follow no good pattern of logic. Your Thetan believes earnestly. It is very touching, this effect. He will believe consistently and continually and earnestly down to the bitterest day of his death that he has actually been trying to act somewhere within the framework of decency to the allowable uppermost limit. I don't care whether he's Pretty Boy Floyd or Mussolini or anyone of the sort. He thinks he had to do what he did when he did it in order to accomplish a goal of a wider level than, you know, he doesn't think in terms really of evil goals. He sort of gets this way and he gets that way and he gets his values assigned some other way and he gets these things crossed up and he tries to figure out this riddle and maybe he hasn't got a very good think tank to figure it with. And the next thing you know, he's finding himself doing the damnedest things. Well, to a limited degree, he is successful. But all such successes are disposed of, and any kind of success is disposed of. The reward of the most successful writer in the whole universe is a loss of his ability to write. The final reward of it. The reward of the greatest conqueror that ever rode with sword or tank or rocket wagon across the stars or across the steppes or any place else was not just 6 feet of earth. It was infamy, utter debased infamy. It didn't matter what he started out to do, he wound up doing about 180 degrees different. So remember this when you look at your preacher. You're looking at a puzzle that every time an individual started to go in one direction to meet a goal, the game was so rigged that he wound up with just exactly the opposite polarity of goal. That which a person works hardest on, he winds up having. That's one of the fundamentals of this universe. That to which he devotes energy, he finally has. How do you work this out? Matter is condensed energy. So therefore, if you keep pouring out energy on something, you will eventually have it. I mean, it's just as simple as that. It's just horribly simple. Now, we've got a group that is, you see, we're actually in a very strange situation. That's why I can speak up well in advance of your own experience on this, as long as I know what you'll find. You might sit there now and say, my God, gee, this sure is wild. Boy, how wild can this get? Believe me, it can get a lot wilder than I'm talking. And you've got somebody that every time he had a goal, every time he postulated a goal, he postulated simultaneously his failure in the goal and didn't know it. Every time he had a goal, we can bust that sucker. We can break it to smithereens. But get that. He wanted to do this and this, and he'll find himself finally having accomplished that and that. He will find it now has an opposite meaning. Let's take the cops. You wonder why police forces periodically collapse. Why, you have to have heads of the detectives changed and the chief of police changed and all the rest of the people in the city hall changed one way or the other. They're fighting crime. And they were putting energy on crime. And they're putting energy on crime. And they're putting more energy on crime. And what do they finally have? They have crime. Well, it's true. And could work out this way, you see. If they started putting energy on honesty and put more energy on honesty, they finally have honesty. But they would just have to forget about crime. You see, a criminal goes down here and he busts into a store window, and then this happens a few times, and the city council has to pass a law saying, this is common throughout the universe, passed a law that after a certain hour nobody can be on the street, something like that. You're part of that town, and you're not going to break in any shop windows, and yet what do you find happening? That during certain hours of the day you find yourself restricted in the space in which you were permitted to move. Why? Because some stupid yap out of some reform school or something of the sorts busted in the stores too often. And you are penalized. That is law at work in the universe. Penalties, penalties, penalties. You don't have to commit the crime to be subject to the law. The foulest member of the group gets the most attention under law. Your newspaper headlines, for instance, are given to the foulest murderer. They're not given to the most honest citizen. There could be some citizen who, by his good works and winning ways and a few other things, had really improved the hell out of the town, and he just made an announcement that he's just improved the devil out of this town. And so people look around and they said, yes, sir, there's 92 acres of parks fixed up, and the kids have got a playground, and this will cut down juvenile delinquency and everything else. And sure, he'll get some kind of a mention back alongside the obituaries. Or maybe when he's dead, they'll run it as part of the funeral notices, and it'll be the last line. Of course, much bigger right above it will be the name of the funeral parlor where he's buried. But this is typical. And so we get what is known as a dwindling spiral. And the dwindling spiral is based upon that principle, that on which one expends energy one has. Now, because you can break this cycle, and because there is such a thing as auditing, it is quite safe for an auditor to audit. It's quite safe for an auditor to audit because he can rehabilitate himself. He can knock this stuff out. And particularly now with creative processing. The theory of validation processing arose in 1951. It was based on this. I concocted it because I saw that the more you validated something, why, the stronger it got as a basic theory. So let's see what we validate and start working out on validation processing, and sure enough, it works. But energy is such that every time you try to go toward a plus or good thing, the Geist bank will flip into a minus. And boy, if you've never examined this, you've got a treat in store. In the E-meters boxes, Volney has a history of that in the back of the E-meter manual he's sending out. Pleasure moments, the running of pleasure moments with an E-meter. You say, let's get a time you're eating steak dinner, and the pre-clear starts to eat steak dinner, and all of a sudden there's a big drop on the E-meter. And you say, what you dropping for on the E-meter? And the fellow said, I'm running this incident, but I'm really not enjoying the steak. And you say, well, what's the matter? Well, it reminds me of my poor husband. And very interesting. You can't have any pleasure, you see. The goal is pleasure, so you have pain. The goal is pain, you have pleasure. It goes in opposites. So every time you try to run a pleasure moment, anytime you try to run a pleasure moment on a PC, you're going to get something or other. And when you've run enough painful moments, he's going to extrovert and he'll flip up the line. But that's not breaking the cycle. The way you break the cycle is to really get what you validate. Put energy on what you want. Therefore, an auditor really hasn't got a heck of a lot of business monkeying around too much with psychos and neurotics and ills and ailments. Why should he? This is probably a new thought to you. I'm going to give you that. Got yourself plotted out. You're going to help people. Good. Good. Nothing wrong with that. Except this. This is something like turning a 12-cylinder Hispano Suiza loose in order to run between the kitchen and the living room. And it's just one of these minor, minor affairs. You see, once you've broken the cycle, and you can make the able more able, let's apply it to you first, and let's make that ability more able than that has ever been able to be able in this universe. And let's just fix it up so that short circuits the action of the universe against you. You'll win. You'll win because you're no longer playing ball with the plus-minus setup of the messed universe. Oh, we've got a nice big win for you. We've got a nice big win for you. Here it is. Here it is. Now you've got it. Well, what do you know? You've lost. I mean, that's typical. I wouldn't be a bit surprised one of these fine days to see all sorts of ships and beautiful women and cargoes of gold and diamonds and pearls being flown in here just like mad with ferry services and the governments of the world trying to buy you off. The natural impulse is to halt an operation which will break the cycle called messed universe. Oh, man, the guys who are being the most victimized by it are trying the hardest to keep it ticking. Keep it ticking. All you've got to do is just step off that line. Just step off that endless belt. And just skip its idea of every time you win, you've got to lose, and every time you lose, there's some win connected with it, and it's all parity and that sort of thing. You can actually turn around just off of that use of creative processing and the rehabilitation of your own universe and your own capabilities. You can turn around and you can make this universe do anything you want to do. It will do anything you want it to do, if you want it to do anything. Now, we wonder about this. Can you really reverse vectors on the messed universe? You sure can. You sure can, but don't think you're going to do it without a screaming, smoking flash, because it's not a mild one. But, you see, you're playing the messed universe's game. All this is too incredible. Nobody believes it. What do you know? Supposing you as a group suddenly decided to wipe out crime in the United States. Supposing you just decided to do that. Now you devoted your attention to crime and so forth. Well, you know the messed universe's rules of opposites. You'd know you'd have to put your attention on honesty in order to wipe out crime. So you'd take all the criminals and you would make sure that they made sure that they set an example of honesty so everybody would be honest. That sounds strange, but that's what you would do. It would be a very successful program. You would just put the police in cages, so to speak, and you would set the criminals up so the criminals were very sure that they weren't fighting crime. They were just making sure that everybody was being honest. You could form an organization, not even with Scientology, but just something like Alcoholics Anonymous, which would make every criminal responsible for one more criminal, or something of that sort, just treat it as a disease, and it would work out right there without any processing. You could end crime. You could end it utterly. And you can win. That's what I'm trying to tell you, because you start tracking back with your pre-clear through, he was here, and he was there, and he was shifted someplace else, and his identity was so-and-so, and he owned, the hell he did, the messed universe never let go of anything yet. After a fellow has built something out of the messed universe, it still belongs to the messed universe. He's maybe got a label on it, but that's an identification. It just says it's messed. And so he goes on with this endless chain, and he gets nothing when he finally finishes. There's no reward. And as a net result, we have, when we look this picture over there, we see that an individual, in order to win, has to get off the treadmill of the win-lose built-in little gimme gahoojit in the messed universe. He has to get off of that treadmill because it is pure deception. And when I tell you about some preclear being flipped from this body into that body and elsewhere, and this being done and that being done, and he's getting tween lives, and he's given goals, and he's given missions, he's supposed to do this, and he's based on all sorts of things. Every one of those is a trick and a trap. You'll have what you devote energy to, but remember that it's your own energy you're devoting to it, and it doesn't necessarily belong to the messed universe at all. When you devote your own energy to it, you're going to have something worth having. But when you insist on having that energy handed to you by the messed universe, you'll wind up with trash every time. So what I'm trying to stress here is the confusion that's the messed universe is not even important anymore to address, even vaguely. All you have to do is rehabilitate the individual's ability to handle his own and make his own space and energy. And only then can he or you be sure what is happening. In a moment, next hour, I will cover these contradictory flows to show you how the messed universe flows are set up and what's wrong with them. Now let's take a break.